troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, you guys.
Hello, gentlemen.
I'd like to tell the audience we have a special guest, Daniel Mark, from perverted-christianityblogspot.com. Good evening, Daniel.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
I'd first like to say I read all of your posts, and I just want to thank you for all the time and effort that you put in. It's very edifying. It's very, it's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I'll back that up.
Yes.
Well, I thank you three gentlemen, and also because I think I've listened to every show you've done so far, and it's been great, really encouraging, and we all need it.
Would you like to tell the audience a little bit about your website and a little bit about what's on your heart tonight?
Sure.
Maybe how you started, too. I'm always interested in that, to get on when you started your website and all that. I'd be interested to hear that.
Sure. For me, the thing that opened my eyes up, I mean, all along, I think you could, secularly, I could go all the way back to, like, 75 when they first showed the Zapruder film on JFK's assassination. That got me like, wow, something's wrong with this government, you know. But then as I went on and I through the school of life, the hard knocks of life, I became a Christian. I didn't grow up in a Christian family, really, just because of, as far as being a Christian and opening up my eyes, it was all the pastors that were on the war wagon for the Gulf War in 2002, 2003. I just could not believe that. John Hagee, Charles Stanley, I mean, they were boldly preaching that if you didn't agree with the war on Iraq, that you were going against God's will. And that, you know, they're using the Romans 13 thing, and, you know, it's God's will for you to support the government, and the government, God ordained this government. And for your president says, we're going to war, and you have to support that. And I thought, wow. No, this isn't the Bible. These people are, something's really, really wrong here. So at that time I realized, you know, that there was no church that I could go to, and even the people, you know, the televangelists, there was nowhere I could find the truth, or so it seemed. And that just started me on a path of just, I would just pray every day, Lord, show me the truth, you know, whatever it takes me to, whatever it happens, I just, show me the truth, because I don't, what the church is doing is not what your Bible says to do, or so it seems to me. That's how I got started.
Now, when we're going over some of the history, audience, there is no doubt amongst us that we are in the great falling away. Does anybody disagree with that?
Well, not at all. Not at all. And I, you know, I see it. So, I mean, as these weeks go by, I just see things with more and more clarity that, you know, the integral part that this is in God's plan, you know, the falling away. I mean, I just see it clearly as the snare that God set. You know, we talked about it last week in Jeremiah 50, you know, 24. I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. And it's like, I just see this clearly, the falling away and all its intricacies and manifestations of apostasy are just, it's the end game thresh. Deception is God's tool that he uses. He uses Satan for his purpose, to thresh out his people, to purge out his flock. You know, he has come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's the ones, like Daniel just shared, you know, that passion for the truth is what he wants from us. He wants us to set aside all our idols and our pride to get that truth. And he knows our hearts. And when we do that, and we do seek after the truth and are willing to do whatever it takes to get it, he gives it to us. And that's his process of separation. And that's what we're in the middle of right now. You know, we were just talking in the pre-show, you know, how the separation is the key of what's taking place right now. God is separating out his flock.
Brother Bill?
Oh, yes. I don't can't find, like, anywhere in history where I've seen that families totally collapsed. And to me, that's a large signature of the falling away.
Hmm.
I don't know any post-cross or pre-cross history that I've ever studied where the family's been totally annihilated. And I think that's one of the biggest. I mean, obviously, there's no truth left in the church. I mean, the church is, and then you know, everything is an outcropping, and it comes out of that. Your for lack of better words, your religious belief. I mean, it's going to show up in society eventually. What the society's religious belief is, and you know, religion is one time in the Bible in a good light. It's in James 1:27. So there is a good religion. I mean, following in the Lord and Jesus Christ and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world.
And helping the widows and the orphans.
And you know, I mean, look, since 1960, what we have now is presidents in the last 3 years. I mean, 3 terms. You know, from the baby boom generation, all those presidents.
Daniel?
I couldn't agree more. Families falling apart. Well, I mean, the church was everything to you people. And America wouldn't be what America would have never got anywhere without the church as its backbone. You know, its organizing principle. I mean, it strengthens families. It keeps people together. And now it's just every man for himself is, you know, every man for himself. And there's no one thing we can look to anymore. As far as in the society, you know, it's all, everybody's fooled by the left and the right and the, you know, the, it's just taking sides and, yeah, I couldn't say it better than I already heard from Bill and Chris. It's the family's falling apart and
the church supports it. That's the thing that really gets me.
Exactly.
It's tolerated in the church and that's, it is like the last apostasy. I mean, what more is there after the family, as far as a breakdown, you know? And here we are, you know. That's what we're seeing, and the kids that are coming out of these broken homes, and it's just so sad.
It's very sad. You know, we're seeing in the last 40 years also the employment of the Alexandrian text.
Yes.
And whenever the Alexandrian text is been used in the last, you know, 2,000 years is really a caste system, poverty. You know, you're going back to the days of poverty in the Catholic Church, and
I mean, you're talking that the NIV became it surpassed the King James as the number one selling Bible in what, 1988, right, Bill?
87 or 88, right in that area.
Yeah.
I think it might have been 87, could have been 86. But right.
And then
there,
you're talking about
years.
the same texts are what drove the Roman Catholic Church before the
right,
Reformation,
what drove
right?
the Roman Catholic Church, right? The Alexandrian text, the Greek, what was known as the Vaticanus and the Sanitanus, the Sinicanus, you know, the one they found at Mount Sinai and the one they found in the Vatican, and there was a third one, and you know, it's been employed back into the system, and it's just been nothing but bad since, you know, whenever that text has shown up, you know, it's not the text from Antioch, the majority text. And really, you know, another signature too of it is, you know, this was the text that drove the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church was all about money and a caste system. And really, even as faulty as Protestant religion was, it wasn't, you know, perfect. But it wasn't completely built around money until the last 40 or 50 years, 60 years, you know. Huh. You know, I don't think it was really built around money in the 1700s and 1800s. Well, we know the Catholic Church has always been built around money.
It's really one thing I'm really I've come to learn too, since honestly my recent awareness of the Knights of Malta and the you know, the Jesuit infiltration, and really do see, you know, it's the interrelationship between the Zionists and the Knights of Malta Jesuits, but I think, you know, I see mm-hmm. the Zionist movement as a creation of the Jesuits as you know, the final deception. But I see how integrally involved they have been in the corrupt Bible translations. They were very instrumental in bringing those things on board, and yep. you know, the stuff that you know, it took so much.
You should
it
go
took
read
time.
The Lord's Prayer in the NIV. I just ask anybody to go read the Lord's Prayer in the NIV. It'll floor you.
Really?
Yeah. Half of it's missing.
Well, I just want to convey to our audience, audience, we have gone through since July the church movements, the three main movements, and in our early shows, we tried to invoke as much scripture in terms of what's going on today. To correlate with the churches being equated to the false prophet of Revelation. Now, in doing so, we've taken a construct of spiritual Israel, and under that construct of spiritual Israel, we recognize physical Israel in the flesh in the Middle East. As a marker of time, we recognize real time in the spirit. Would anybody like to add to that for a better explanation for the new members of the audience?
Well, the land of Israel in the Middle East is a experiment, and it's you know, clearly a manifestation of flesh, of really Freemasonic deception as a diversion, taking away from the true meaning of Israel in the Bible. You know, the scripture is clear about Israel, and Israel is a spiritual construct. Israel is the church. Israel is the you know, the born again believers that have faith in Christ, and you know, before the cross, they actually had faith in Christ, you know, for the future Savior. You know, the sacrificial system was you know, a shadow of what was to come for the final sacrifice. But you know, Christians are forfeiting their heritage as Israel, and you know, giving that heritage to this fleshly group of people and this fleshly landmass in the Middle East, and it's a grave error, and it is definitely the strong delusion. It's the tip of the spear of the strong delusion, and the way that this has happened is that it's taken you know, Satan a solid 150 years of brainwashing to prepare the the masses to accept this deception, and it's worked. It's worked because now we have the Christian right, we're going to see that tonight when we take a look, when we finish up the Billy Graham study, basically supporting the beast, wondering after the beast whose mortal wound was healed, because we see that the mortal wound was healed in 1948 when Israel became a nation. And this is a key, marker in time with this 1947-48 study that we're in the middle of right now. And we're going to go into this tonight in depth as we see the groundwork that's been laid to prepare for this time, 2011. You know, the discernment in the church is gone, and this is the only way Satan can get away with this deception.
Well, I just went for the audience. Let me recount the scripture so that you understand the path that has been leading the Watchman Weekly to where it is today. In our initial shows were to convey that the 501c churches that were using a diminished Bible, we were recognizing as in the process of the great falling away. Now we take the spiritual construct from John chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. There was a man of the Pharisees. Now, when you, audience, please recognize, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, but if you recognize this, leading up to the spiritual finished works of the cross, the new body of Christ is spiritual and recognized throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. As a spiritual construct now, using the Old Testament prophets to be able to discern the current events of your generation. It could be any generation, but this is a little different generation that we're in. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, we'll go through a little round table on this, but I'm trying to convey to the audience that in these 501c3 churches, using the diminished word, in the new copyrighted Bibles, the people of the church cannot discern the Spirit. Brother Bill?
Oh, absolutely. For God is a Spirit, and them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They're worshiping Him in flesh and in lies. Hmm. You mentioned Nicodemus there. What was interesting about that story, he it says Nicodemus came by night. And, he was sneaking over to see Jesus because he didn't want his other members of the church to know what he was doing. You know, he had a relationship there. So he never became fully committed, you know.
Well, we want to make sure, audience, that when you recount those verses, Jesus is saying unto thee, and that's just not Nicodemus. That's right. Physical Israel.
That's right, absolutely.
He's saying to physical Israel, you must be born again in the Spirit to recognize my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. Now, that does not disagree with Jesus was the king of the Jews. It actually is a...
No, it totally harmonizes with it.
Totally harmonizes the scripture. And that's what we're trying to convey, because people that are in the churches are under strong delusion, and the Great Falling Away is very, very... It's on its last legs. Daniel?
Agreed. It's the inability to comprehend that.
Yeah.
It's just like the Old Testament Israel. You know, they have their eyes and ears closed up.
Right.
That's exactly what's happened to this end time church. They just can't. You can see. I've heard Chris say this many times. When you're speaking to people about this, their eyes glaze over and they don't know what you're talking about. And then they look at you suspiciously, like, you know, I think you said something against Israel. You know, God's going to curse them or something like that. And it's hard to get that concept across. But it's the whole. It's not just with the Israel thing. It's with all of it. It's spiritual. Spirit. You know, the Old Testament was physical. The New Testament is spiritual. I think people really want to cling to the Old Testament as far as the physical aspects of it. There, you know, they talked about God's servants were rich and rich, you know, very rich, and you know, they had so much they had to go in separate ways because there wasn't enough land for their cattle to eat on. I think that's part of the attraction to ancient Israel, physical Israel, because when you mix in, I'll bless those and bless you, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's the lust of that's what they do now. They excite the lust of the flesh, and I mean, if you tell somebody you're going to be spiritually rich, that doesn't mean anything to most people. Now, for others, it does, you know, spiritually riches. But when you read the Bible, you know what it means, because you're spiritually rich. The Holy Spirit translated that to your soul,
yeah.
And you know what it means. That's true riches, the truth. But for most people, you can't. How do I turn that into money? You know.
How do we turn that into Luger?
Exactly.
What I see, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I was in the Catholic Church, and as I went, you know, about my way here, you know, and really just in recent years, with all the arguments against the Catholic Church, the one I just used to focus on was confirmation. I thought that was the most dangerous doctrine in the Catholic Church, because what they do is, you know, as a matter of ritual. They, you know, bring the kids forward when they're, what, I don't know, sixth grade or fifth grade or something like that, and they confirm what supposedly happened at their baptism, you know, that they confirm that they've been born again, essentially, you know, that they've received the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what the sacrament of confirmation is. And I always thought that was the core defect in the Catholic doctrine, because kids aren't getting born again, you can't do it. As a matter of ritual. And
right, they just took the old Hebrew, what they did was take the old Hebrew laws of Moses and just twist them all.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what their whole foundation is.
But the point I'm making is that that's what's taking place now in the evangelical church.
It's the lost doctrine. It's coming full circle.
It's the lost doctrine. It's the key doctrine that isn't emphasized anymore. It's church membership, and, you know, belonging to the hive is where the group salvation comes from. And I'm telling you what, this is the way it is, because it's happening in my family. You know, as my family was split apart, and I'm just dying inside with what I see, the merchandising that's going on with these souls, you know, and you know, unfortunately my family is part of it. You know, my precious teenage girls are you know, they announced to me, you know, a while back we were out together, and they said, we're getting baptized this weekend. And I just sat there quiet for a few minutes, and then I said to them, you know, I was grieved in my heart, you know, and I looked at them all and I said, none of you are ready to be baptized, you know, because I know my girls, and I just hadn't seen the Holy Spirit, you know, visit them. Although since that time, I do, you know, believe my one daughter has had, you know, the Lord, you know, come into her heart. But, you know, I'm telling you, you know, this was something that happened at the church. They, you know, they're ritually putting them through a baptism service, you know, giving the kids a false, just a false message, you know, not giving them a clear teaching on what it means to be born again, because they don't know themselves, you know, and it's just, this is what's going on, and it's just so, so heinous that, you know, this is what I do see is these apostate leaders are the merchandisers just working on the numbers. You know, like Sue Patterson said one time, you know, a church she was involved with, you know, she was in the church, and they had hanging on the wall all the pictures of the baptism people, you know, people that were baptized. After they came out of the baptismal, they got their picture, and Sue said, trophies. And I thought, oh my gosh, you're right. And it's just so it's just such a crime, because these people are just not getting discipled, and they're not you know, getting they just don't know what it means to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, because the people that are a part of the system aren't regenerated either, you know, and not saying they weren't at one time, but with this new thing that's going on with this seeker movement that has diminished the necessity of the Spirit's work, and you know, putting the emphasis on the group, the hive, the pastors, whatever, anything but the Holy Spirit leading into all truth. And this is it's the leaven. You know, the whole lump is now leavened, and we've seen it in our lifetime. That's what's so disturbing. I've seen it in my, you know, I remember when the church was good. I remember when the church was thriving. And I saw this take place, so there's no one that can say any otherwise to me, because I know it for a fact. I saw it. I was a part of it.
Well, let me convey to the audience, there is good news, audience. And in John chapter 19, verse 39, and there came also, and this was after the crucifixion, Nicodemus, the same Nicodemus that Jesus was addressing, which had first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Now, audience, Nicodemus, if you drill down, as we've been trying to convey in terms of truth, you will find that Nicodemus, on a different layer, means victorious among his people. Huh. And Nicodemus recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the truth.
Amen.
That man that couldn't figure out what born again was came to the truth. Now, we equate this from our friend Steve Knox, just so you have a clear understanding, and a clear understanding as far as if you're new to this show, that think of how you would trap a bear, an animal like that. You would set a snare inside his cave, in his lair, while he's asleep.
Huh.
Now, Esau was the cunning hunter. Okay, there's an equated metaphoric snare that you should start turning the wheels in terms of recognition. Anybody want to add to that?
Well, no, that was a really good analogy. I remember that when he said that, Bob. That, you know, people, when they're, that's the one time during the week for that hour and a half on Sunday morning that they're, you know, there's a chink in their armor. Or I don't even say that, just that.
Takes their armor off, hiding.
I think that's one time they're safe, yeah.
But, Daniel?
For sure. No, I don't disagree with what you guys had to say.
Yeah, like the church itself is the snare. And it depends on lies. I mean, the church can't work. If the church today worked, it would crumble. It would fall apart, because it's based on a system of lies that keep people in a codependent need for more. You know, it's that ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:7 is written to the church today. This is the platform of the church. It depends on
right,
exactly.
They've created a.
They need to come back continually for more.
That's a caste. They created a caste system.
There's a caste system. Oh boy, you're right, Bill. Isn't that? That's what that is.
And there's no truth. No one is preaching the truth of this gospel. They're the money changers. We equate them to scorpions. And by the way, audience, again, all of this work is based on the King James Version Bible, a Strong's Concordance, and the groundwork that was done at the third day, the-third-day.com by Sue Patterson and Randy Moggins of the Metaphoric Language. Bill, would you like to add to that? Just so our new members of the audience and our old members can recount how the metaphoric language from Genesis to Revelation is totally fluent.
Oh, yeah, it is. In the King James Bible, it is, yes, because of the harmonization and consistency of the words. And, yeah, it's a spiritual language in there. There's still the literal gospel. Sadly, the church doesn't even have the literal gospel anymore, or anything close to it. But I kind of refer to it as a spiritual language in the text. And that work, the Third Day Studies, by Sue Patterson and Randy Moggins, is excellent. Go to the plumb line first, and then to the
training and equipping the saints right now.
Training and equipping the saints right now. Right. And as a matter of fact, you need to get into the gospel right now too in the New Testament. Paul has refined the whole Testament. If the Hebrew Mutz movement will try to sneak you back into the, well, you got to have this, and you got to go back to the Old Testament and get this and get that. And, I think the Old Testament's wonderful. Yeah. And the Old Testament's great. Yeah. It's fantastic. But there is this thing called the New Testament, and that's where the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And actually, Paul has done all that for you. He's condensed the Old Testament and put it into the New Testament.
He has. That's Amen. What he's done. Amen.
Now
God used him for that reason. Among many reasons. I mean, God's, who could know the way, God's mind and his, who could know God's mind. But Paul was just so learned, so extremely learned. And, but he couldn't understand what he was learned in. So finally, after he gets full of the Holy Spirit, now God's going to use all of that learnedness that he had put in for years in the Old Testament. And that's what he did in the book of Romans, Hebrews, Galatians, all of those books. He just condensed the Old Testament into them.
And the Holy Spirit audience at this time needs to reveal this to you, because if you're in a church, you will not see this. If you're under any other doctrine, you will not see this. And this is 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed.
If
you
go
into it, yes.
The whole church is mingled. So those people that come with another doctrine, they say, yeah, come on in. Bring everything you got. We just love you. And come on into our church, and we'll work everything out. And we didn't work things out. Those doctrines, came in like a thief and a robber.
Yep.
And it's basically saying, don't be contrary to the truth of Scripture. And what we're telling you, audience, is that if you have any other Bible, and we only convey this for a certain reason in terms of what has worked for us, because we have seen that miracle where someone else had worked through a New International Version. I don't recall what version Pete was working, but He's in the truth. At truthinscripture.com, you're in the truth over there with Brother
That's
Pete.
True.
But he has since changed over to the King James Version Bible and is receiving more.
Receiving more, right. He's getting more.
Yeah, you know, I just get such a blessing out of just the consistency that you see on, you know, I'll put a plug in too, you know, for thirdgreatawakening.org. And if you go to the second page, we have all the remnant blogs listed in one on one page. You know, Daniel's is there, Pete's is there. And I was there today.
I mean, we have scoured the land to find those.
Yeah. And, you know, this is just so neat. You know, like, you know, what's Pete talking about? You know, 2 weeks ago he talked about Joel's army. And, you know, there's this awareness to that whole thing about, you know, Joel's army and up till now, you know, the signs and wonders crowd is pushing the Joel's army, latter rain. They just twist that doctrine all to pieces.
They actually are the Joel's army. They're right for the wrong reason, which is the same as being wrong.
And it's
whenever you're right for the wrong reason.
It's absolutely calling evil good and good evil, because they think Joel's army is a good thing, when in fact Joel's army is the locust army out of the north that God's going to use as his vessels of wrath. You know, this is just amazing that's happening. That's an example. I'm in another
That's
one.
That's an example of not knowing your gospel. That is an example of not knowing this gospel of Jesus Christ in the literal language.
Yeah.
I'm not talking deep metaphoric language. I'm not talking, I'm just talking basic this gospel 101. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, I would fight. And then when Satan offers him the kingdoms of the world, remember he offered him all the kingdoms in a moment's time?
Yes.
Well, you know, Jesus did not rebuke him there. He didn't say, "It is written, Satan, that you don't own these kingdoms." He didn't do that. He sure, if Satan would have been lying, he would have rebuked him. So we know that the kingdoms of the world are Satan's. This is Bible 101. And we know that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It can't be any plainer. He says, if it were of this world, he said my saints would fight or whatever. So you just put those two things together. This is like simple gospel scripture.
Yeah.
And they don't even have that.
But I'm talking then, too, my point was the consistency among the remnant that, you know, Daniel's blog has always, you know, many times is what I'm talking about. Just the thing that's on the hearts of the people, and people that are really not connected in any other, you know, maybe some are, but like this week I saw something on Soul Refuge, I think it was, and he did a study on the same thing we did last week, the vineyard. You know, and the husbandman, and you know, it's just neat that that the consistency is there among God's elect,
right?
And you just see the same Holy Spirit, you know, revealing the same truth to all of us. I know, like James Lloyd and Sue and Randy testify to that all the time, that they'd be working on things independently and find out they're working on the same thing. It's just really neat. It's just confirmation the Lord gives us. It's exciting.
Daniel, it's happened many times. That's how I got to know, or by reading Chris and Randy and some of the other people. The Lord would put something in my mind. He would show me something, and I would start to write about it, and I'd be like, "Wow, this is pretty radical." You know, I was almost doubting it, you know, but then he would corroborate it.
Yeah.
By just show, okay, go search the internet. I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about, you know. And the problem at church is they don't do that. They pay somebody to tell them what the Bible means. We're all reading the same words.
Yeah.
Well, if we're in it, let's just say we are. We're all reading from the same Bible. But why does one thing mean something else to somebody else? Because when they don't just read the Bible at church. They tell them how to perceive it. They give them the perception that, you know, this means this. You know? So no matter how many times they read that, until they realize, I've been looking at this under the false perception. You know, until you stop and say, I have to cleanse these perceptions. These are wrong. You know, these are all based on, you know, the filthy lucre. or the physical, or the false, you know, the false Israel, or whatever, you know, whatever the falsehood is. Until you do that, you know, you won't come to the truth. But they don't want you to come to the truth, so it's like they read the you're getting in the church. How, what do you just a tiny little bit of scripture in the church, right? You see, you got an hour long service, maybe 5 minutes of it, if that, is dedicated to actual scripture reading, if even that.
Yeah, if even if that, right.
And then they tell you what.
And
it
then it's someone's interpretation of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I mean. You have to come outside of that. Again, that's why you have to come out of the church, or you never will get it. You never will. You won't even begin. You won't even begin to see the truth until you realize. Until you realize you're not getting the truth, you have to come outside to get it. And that's why, you know, just another reason for Revelation 18:4. You have to come outside, and then you have to, you know, and then the Spirit will bring you, you know, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will bring you to. The truth, but they're not going to do that, you know, because their church is their God, it's their idol,
it's
their
the deity, yeah,
yeah,
right. The, yeah, their dependency is on the fact that they can't have the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it didn't come from my church, it can't be the truth, you know.
Well, yeah, right. But their existence even requires them not to have the truth. If they have the truth, they have no more existence.
That go ahead. Very true. Very true.
And we can, you know, equate the downfall of the church is the money changers are in there, and they're counting heads.
Yeah.
And we could see what's happening. Crystal Cathedral was the first big to go down, big church, but all the corruptions in the monetary of the church, they will go down just like the housing. You know, they're built on donations. They're built on usury, and
sense.
In the next couple of years, you're going to see the absolute downfall of tons and multiple churches, just because of the economy and their mismanagement of funds.
And you know what I believe? I believe those are the ones that are going to be blessed. I think that God will. I think the ones that do crumble are the ones that God really has the heart for. That, you know, and we see it in Scripture. We see it in the prophetic, the metaphors. You know, the grass, you know, burned up, and you know, the equating that to the multitude losing their goods. And I think that there's going to be all purpose for all that. And I think that the churches that march right on through these big emergent, you know, churches that are you know, increasing goods and in need of nothing that basically go through the economic collapse unscathed as in unity, you know, are going to be the ones that are that'll be the tip of the spear for the you know, the final one world new world order religion.
Yep.
You know, like how it's all going to play out, I don't know. I try to figure it out all the time, but it's you know, somewhere along the line the true remnant are going to be taken out by these very people.
Well, they have to be taken, set outside of Sodom.
And we know that there's a separation.
Yeah.
And let me give a proper rendering of separation, audience. Separation is to set off by boundary, that is, limit, exclude, appoint, divide, separate, sever. Now, this separation that will happen in the churches is the multitude coming out.
Yeah.
And we equate this to Pentecost, and possibly, now that's not thus saith the Lord, but at this point in this time frame, it'd have to be a miracle for people to wake up out of this strong delusion. Anybody disagree with that assessment?
Well, it's a miracle. Yeah, that's
it will
what it's going to be. It's right in the beginning of the Bible, the first few, I don't know if it's second or third verse, but, God's Spirit moved upon the face of the waters and said, let there be light. And he called the light day. That's what it's going to have to happen. His Spirit's going to have to move on the face of the waters and say, let there be light. You know, that's what, it was darkness when he did that in Genesis chapter 1. And we're at darkness now. You know, the total darkness always comes first. And it's God's Spirit that's going to move and show the light.
Yeah.
And he called the light day with a capital D, and he called the night night. So, you know, it's a huge separation. God is very decisive and divisive, and, you know, it's going to be a separation.
Daniel?
Agreed, absolutely. It'll take a move similar to that to break these people free from their bondage, their refuge, their false gods, their false idols, their false everything. It's, you know, it will take an incredible movement of God to do that. But I think we all believe that it will happen though.
Well, I believe it's determined. And if we just go to the scriptures in Luke 22:22, interesting number, and truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And when you drill down on determined, you have multiple audience. You need to do a study on determined on your own. Because determined actually means the same as ordained. It's the same as declared, and it's the same as limited. So when you go through scriptures and you come to the scripture of ordained, Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus Christ, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. And then the determination is Acts 11:29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And it's attendance. It's a Christian teacher, particularly of the diakons. Ministering office relief service. Gentlemen, we are trying to minister to our audience. Would you like to convey any determined things that are on your heart?
Well, to come out of the church, I mean, that's the absolute beginning, is coming out of the church, and, you know, and the apostasy is bigger than the church, obviously, but that's the starting point. You know, most Christians are in a church, and the church has run its course for 1,700 years now. It comes first in the story of Job in chapter 40. It comes first before Leviathan. I was just studying verse 23 today. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not, he trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. And that's the false prophet. That's Behemoth, chapter 40. The false prophet just sucks all the living water away and leaves a barren, dry desert.
In famine.
In famine. Leaves total famine. And after that, there's nothing left but pride. That's why it causes him to worship the first beast. Because all man has is Ephesians 4:17 left, you know, the vanity of his mind. And
Chris, Daniel?
Well, I'm getting something, too. And that, you know, the church today doesn't know God. That's the bottom line. I had a really disturbing conversation earlier this week with a dear friend of mine who's been in Christian missions for 30 years. I hung the phone up with him, and the next day I realized he's not teaching the gospel. You know, he gave me his whole spiel, and I had this emptiness inside of me that just tore me apart. And I mean, this is what's happened. You know, it's just this thing that Christianity's the thing that's presented as Christianity out there today is a complete counterfeit of the truth. And it's all fluff, and it's because
it's flatteries.
I mean, I don't know of a word that describes the church better than he will corrupt with flatteries. I mean, the false prophet is the church. It's the collective false prophets that are spewing these lies. But It says in Romans, it says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. I mean, that's the gospel. That's part of the gospel that you have to accept, that this is, you know, it's not all good. It's good for those who have a passion for the truth and have a passion to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, but it's also, you know, severity. And the thing is, I look at the word severity, and it says from the base, figuratively, decisiveness. That is rigor, severity. And there, it's fitting in with something else that the Lord's showing me today. I keep finding the word set today. Like, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. And Jesus, you know, is set down at the right hand of the Father. I mean, it's the same word as I see it. And he's set on the mount of the Sermon on the Mount. I was teaching that to my little boy today. And that word set, you know, Jesus was, what does it say there? Do you know what it says, Bill, in Matthew chapter 5? Let me pull it up real quick. It's pretty significant. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just the same. It's the same thing. But it says, and seeing that the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. You know, and there, that word set there is,
that's
Matthew 5:1.
Yeah.
5:1, right. It's the first verse. Yeah. Right. Set. Yeah. That, you know, setting a plumb line.
Like Jesus is the plumb
really
line.
It says that we're set, seated in heavenly places even.
Yeah. Sat down. He sat down once and for all, you know, offered himself and then sat down at the right hand of God. But it's just that, I guess I'm not, presenting it like I want to, but, just the fact that, there's like a finality to it, the decisiveness of the severity of God, that it's a decision that is made, a judgment that is made, and God is making a judgment. This is what my point is, and it's almost like Jesus set on the mount, on the Sermon on the Mount to give the truth that was going to be the judgment. I mean, these words of the Beatitudes are judgment. They're words of judgment that God is giving to absolute truth that does cut and divide, that cuts through all the religious garbage that the multitude that were listening to this sermon were indoctrinated with. And here, you know, God is laying it out absolutely opposite of what they believe. You know, that the meek shall inherit the earth, and all these words today that are just as rich as they were then for the people today, that, the irony of God, you know, we've talked about that before, that things are just so twisted. You know, the world is turned upside down, and, the truth of God is just so contrary to what the world believes, that what is taught and ingrained in us by, you know, our schools and our the media and just everything. And it's just, we're called to overcome all this.
And it's that was said as figuratively to a
is
point.
Is that in the Amos plumb line?
I set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel.
Oh, there it is. That's it. And then he passes by no more.
Uh-huh. It's set. That's like the judgment is laid and it's it.
It's appointed. Yeah. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to invoke the plumb line.
Yes.
So that you audience can see that, you know, these manifestations that, again, we are dwelling in the flesh on one level to try and convey the spiritual truths, to try to open your mind to repentance. And when we convey that, repentance is to change your thinking about this, to put the spiritual construct ahead of the fleshly understanding that you have from the false prophets, and look to the scriptures to give you the fulfillment of scriptures. And basically, we preach repentance to sin not. You know, go no more, sin no more, and go. And how you rectify that in your mind is don't be sinning anymore.
Right.
You need a. We don't have a proper rendering for spiritual sinning, but remember, our Lord Jesus Christ admonished us that the sin will come to the mind. And only a simple rendering of that would be the typical construction worker whistling at the girl. You know, if you're the typical construction worker now, buddy, or I should not exclude our sisters, but you better be looking from the neck up, and you better be cleaning your mind and clean out your temple. Jesus cleaned the temple. He took the money changers out. He's admonishing you to clean out your mind. This is the word of the Lord. Would anybody like to add to that?
Yes, we're the temple of God, and it needs to be cleaned out. That's for sure. Yes.
And this is not some overwhelming process. If the Holy Spirit wants to indwell in you, you're going to clean it out. Believe me.
But go ahead, Daniel.
I agree with everything I'm hearing. In the church, it's just like Jesus told them, you know, your traditions. You're valuing your traditions more than the commandments of God. And that's exactly what they're doing today. I was listening to you in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
That's all you really need to know how to live the way God wants you to live.
That's right.
But what have they done to that?
Doctrines of demons.
They've turned it upside down. Now, maybe that was what he meant 2,000 years ago, but now what it means is, and it's every time you hear something like that, you know, go ahead.
Thou wast, thou art to come. So that isn't what he meant 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
He meant it then, and he meant it now.
Right, exactly. The traditions of men are...
And we've only had like 150 years of this traditions of men and its last stages here, you know, since the Freemasonry movement and stuff in the 19th century, and then obviously advanced in the 20th century. Can you imagine, you know, in the temple, you know, there was basically, you know, 2,000 years of tradition or 1,500 years of tradition of men with Moses. And tradition of men could become so powerful that it's tradition of the flesh is what it is.
Exactly. And people look to that, that's God's will. No, that's the traditions of men. But they got mixed up along the line. And you're not reading your Bible, so you don't know any better.
Right. In fact, Chris, you just read out of something that it said about continuing his goodness.
Yeah. And the severity.
Well, it says his goodness.
Yeah.
That's the key. Continuing his goodness. You know, they're out there seeking their own goodness and their own version of good and what good is.
And what are they doing? They're holding on to their golden calves. I mean, that's the thing that keeps them from God's goodness. They try to hold on to their idols, and that's the trap that they've been taught, that, you know, that's what God wants for you. You know, he wants, you know, you to have all those, the physical blessings, which is the, you know, the key to the falling away right now, because we've been so, you know, indoctrinated with this prosperity movement, and I believe it's, you know, everybody fell for it, myself included. You know, I'm just praising the Lord now that I'm free of it. I've pretty much lost everything monetarily, but I'm, you know, I've got the riches, you know, of heaven now in my heart because of it. That's the price I had to pay, but it was worth it.
And audience, this is what happened to all of us. This is a recounting of Luke chapter 7, verse 21. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of the evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now, we're not preaching, Jesus came to the sinner. We're pleased to announce the good news that you repent of your sins, pray for the Holy Spirit, and if you want to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel. There's no more complications than that. Anybody like to add to that?
No, it's not any more complicated than that. No, absolutely.
It's only Satan that wants it more complicated than that. Or those that do his work. You know, because it's very, very, very simple gospel. Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
No, I'm sorry. It's the most sold book in the world and the least read book.
Now, we, going in, we've been a little, we never go with the pre-show and get it right. We're looking at audience, trying to convey to you these fleshly understandings so that you will prepare your house to be in order. And they're at what hour, we do not know, but an hour can mean a lot of things. It can mean an age. It can mean a time. And we're trying to convey to you to use the tools, at first and foremost, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Plumb Line series will give you some idea of how the spiritual construct is laid out. And all of the shows at the Threshing Floor and the Watchman Weekly are geared towards this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we try to convey as best we can the truth in proper renderings, and you will not have this if you do not study yourself approved and have a love of the truth. Daniel, would you like to add anything for the audience?
No, as you say, you have to study. You must study these things yourself. If you cannot look to somebody else to figure all this stuff out for you, it's never meant to be that way. It was always meant to be that a person would see God and the Holy Spirit would, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth, you know. I mean, the gospel has to be preached, of course, but you have to do your own study, as you said many, many times over, to be approved, to show that, you know, you are ready to defend what you believe in. You must be. If not, then you'll fall for anything you hear. And one last thing I was thinking of while we were talking about some of the things I heard Chris say, and I know myself too. You know, well, maybe we lost that job, or this didn't work out the right way, or that business didn't work out the right way. Think about this. If we're talking about the prosperity doctrine, I was thanking God for this a while ago. If I would have kept that really good paying job I had a while back, if some of those things I had that I was when I was into the prosperity gospel doctrine too, if some of that stuff would have worked out, I might have actually believed that nonsense.
Yeah. Amen. I feel the same way.
Very good point. Yes. Amen.
So I'm thanking God that that stuff didn't work out, and we lose everything. But you know, you keep the important things. You know, you realize. You know what? Jesus said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" That's pretty plain and straightforward, right?
Very plain and straightforward.
Camel through the eye of a needle.
How do you come from that to prosperity doctrine?
And then, you know, right. And then also the you know, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that you know, you're persecuted. We're you know, blessed are ye. Yes. When men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say in all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, I mean, you know, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's like, how many Christians are persecuted today? I mean, people that are calling themselves Christians. You know, it's just there's this lie floating around that's telling them that these big churches are, this is what God's doing now, and you know, persecution and stuff was for the old, you know, the old time church, but now
that was that was for another day and another time and another season,
but nothing's changed.
We've got it all covered now because
we've got a covenant with death.
That's right.
Now, since we've gone off a little bit, which was good, and it was edifying to me in terms of this discussion, we're going to go to current events, which is a scary discussion. Chris?
Well, yeah. Well, we got birds falling out of the sky everywhere, all over the world. You know, something really, really weird is going on there. I have nothing, you know, scripture to base it on. I don't know. I know the, you know, the fish and the seal, you know, the fish that are dying too. I can't really find any scripture to back up anything to do with the fowls falling out of the sky. But there's just something weird going on. But you know, that the other thing was, it's got our attention is this shooting in Arizona, and it's just got all the signatures of another Columbine. There's definitely you know, some ritualistic occult signatures to this thing. You know, the little girl that was born on 9/11, she was killed. Is that how I understand it?
Well, it's diluted, and there's 200 versions coming out of this. It's tragedy, number one. We pray for the families of everyone involved.
Yes.
You know, this is just an absolute travesty on all fronts, but the, you know, getting a story out of there is like pulling nails. I can't give you, Chris. I got a couple different versions, but I'm kind of led to believe that I'll never know the answer to that.
No.
There was a, you know, this is in a parking lot where they have surveillance cameras, without a doubt, and there's been no video. There's associations, you know, with this woman, and she's married to an astronaut. Well, I'll pray for that woman, audience. And pray for this kid that's such a pharmaceutical mess that he's probably was dribbling spit, doing a shuffle. You know, something doesn't sound right about this at all. Daniel?
Signs of the times, you know, it's so... I can't think of any other word right now except crazy. It's just crazy. Birds falling dead out of the sky, thousands of them at once. Hundreds of thousands of fish coming up on coast, crabs, all over the world.
Yeah.
What pattern? I mean, how could you describe it other than signs of the times? It's like, I can just, God, I'm trying to, I can just imagine God saying, I'm attempting to get your people of the world, of the earth, I'm trying to get your attention. He's getting mine.
Now, in recounting these birds falling out of the sky, this is birds are falling out of the sky. What more do you need to say? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to say that every explanation so far that I've read for it has seemed pretty ridiculous to me. Somebody knows more, and hopefully, you know, maybe we'll know, maybe we won't, but... Everything they've said so far makes no sense at all.
Does anybody disagree that we're on real-time prophecy? And we're never going to – we probably won't have a opportunity to look at this before it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we feel. How do you report on this?
Yes. How do you report on it, right?
Now, this isn't just in Kentucky – Louisiana, Arkansas. This is being reported all over the world. These fish kills are in the millions. You know, I've read various numbers of large scale, 8,000 doves in Italy, blackbirds in Arkansas, gulls. You know, audience, we can't even decipher the news, and there's four of us here that actually looked at all this to get ready for the show.
But all you need to do is just draw off of what we've been teaching week after week, and that is stand in
and
the
And, you
truth.
Know, they all, you know, speaking to this thing, too, they always play everything off as a lone gunman. You know, that's the tactic that they use, the Saran tactic. And, you know, it's the John Wilkes Booth tactic. You know, so nobody delves what's behind all this. And then, of course, he smoked pot, which directly made him psychotic, causing the shooting. So,
I've read that he's on multiple medications, total pharma.
So then it's a definite case closed, see?
Yeah.
you can't go in and do any research whether he was, you know, mind controlled or whatever.
And then what it's going to do with what the
it smells to high heaven, really. I mean, it's just,
well, you know, with the implications to what do they call it, Pac Palin, or the you know, her she's tied in with the thing. You know, the woman was targeted, you know, before the elections. There was verbiage on her website about targeting this individual. You know, whether they meant it. You know, I'm sure they didn't mean it physically, but. You know, it's all propaganda.
And then you have these this Satanist sacrificing under numbers.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that woman wasn't the intended target.
That's right.
This is insanity, audience. This is insanity that this is not a cut and dry. We saw the pictures. This happened. That happened. Okay, there were hundreds of people there.
Right.
And we can't get the right story for you.
Can't get the right story.
But, you know, we, you know.
No, I am sure it's a lone gunman. That wasn't what I meant by saying that. But, you know, they already marked him and labeled him and everything. So, you know, nobody could delve into maybe what the real problem was behind it.
And I just think of the occult implications with all this stuff. And the reason that we're teaching, you know, pretty dogmatically that this is, you know, the opening of the bottomless pit, you know, the ties to that we've seen in recent months. And, you know, last week was the Leviathan, you know, natural gas discovery off of Israel.
And Mount Carmel.
And Mount Carmel. And then Mark Jenkins sent me today all kinds of implications to Behemoth, you know, referencing these oil fields all over the place, like the oil field in the Dakotas has been referenced as Behemoth. And, you know, these are just all signatures. It's just, yeah, you know, Satan marking his turf. But, you know, we got to realize, folks, that, you know, Satan is powered up. Satan's kingdom is powered up. You know, the blood of the aborted babies. I read there was something on the internet I read over the weekend that, like, 37% of the births in New York City in New York proper, I think, are aborted. You know, it's twice the national average, whatever. But, I mean, you know, the blood is just crying out from the ground, you know, and, you know, these sins have reached heaven. And you know, this is all part of it. And make no mistake, there's, you know, the satanic implications to all this, that all these events are coming to a head. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, the confrontation, you know, as the spirit realm invades planet Earth. You know, this is what we're preparing you for, folks. I mean, you know, we don't go in as deeply as Randy does on Threshing Floor, but the material that he's, you know, laying out there these days, it's over the top, and a lot of people are having a hard time with it. But, you know, I know in my spirit that we're going to find out that it's, you know, it's not over the top as this stuff develops. Like even just myself this week with what I shared with my friend from the missions, you know, In the depth of the apostasy, and I just saw a whole new level of the deception this week. In that, you know, the gospel is gone. I'm just to the point now. The gospel message is gone from the churches. They don't have it. They don't know it. They don't know what it is. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo words with no scripture behind it, and it's just man's imagination run wild.
Once the gospel is gone, Behemoth has done his job. The false prophet's done his job once the gospel's gone.
Yeah.
Now the Leviathan steps in, pride steps in, and you know, build the Tower of Babel, do it all in the man's flesh. You know, that's what steps in when the gospel's completely gone. Yeah. There isn't any use for the false prophet anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we're seeing, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing.
What, the false prophets had its reign for 1,700 years.
Right.
And now that the beast of the beast that was not and is ascending.
It took them 1,700 years to get rid of the gospel.
Yeah.
Now they've got rid of that, and now there's no more need for him. He's going to diminish, you know, just as John the Baptist diminished and Jesus increased.
Because the beast tried to kill the gospel and he couldn't. Right,
yes.
at the cross. He thought he did, But then, so then he's wandered the desert since 70 A.D.
Wandering in dry places and seeking rest and finding none. And he shows up, you know, prematurely over there before the Catholic Church is Simon Magus.
So, yeah, he couldn't kill the gospel, so all he could do was lie about it.
Yeah.
They weren't going to kill Jesus. But as long as you have Jesus in your teaching, then the deception is the tool. And that's what the false prophet has done. Yeah, I see that clearly, Bill. That's really awesome that you've put that together.
Now, audience, we have multiple applications of physical manifestations of Scripture of the Book of Revelation going on currently, and we've have the proper rendering of the Great Falling Away and the Strong Delusion, and it's happening now. It began early, after 1611, but it began in Jerusalem. It began at the first church. But it's ending. It's ending in our generation. And you will not see this unless you are in your gospel praying to our Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, praying for to have your house in order, to have the Holy Spirit dwell in your clean vessel. Anybody like to add to that?
Yeah, now is the time, right now.
Now is the time.
Birds falling out of the sky, audience. The pit of hell opened in the Gulf of Mexico, and I can assure you that the mainstream media is not giving you the meat of this situation. I don't want to say, you know, this is the absolute truth, but there is something unleashed in that pit, and I've always felt it in my heart and in my spirit that was the worst thing that is ever going to happen to mankind.
The seas are dying.
So far, so good on that thought process. Because now they're saying that and again, this is too long to go into, but they've put a synthetic, a man-made microbe to eat up the oil, and it's flowed to where the Titanic is. And the cameras on the Titanic are showing the Titanic is being eaten by these microbes.
Where is that, Bob?
I'll put a link up on the show. It's
I mean, is that in England or?
No, it's halfway between.
Halfway between.
You mean
the sunken Titanic? Yeah,
the sunken Titanic that is also some sort of ritualistic site. Again, okay. I don't know these dark arts to be able to peg them, but
right.
Titanic.
I thought maybe
equates,
you were talking about the rebuilding of the Titanic. Or
no, this is just another bad news. It's documented that this synthetic man-made microbe is not only destroying the ecosystem, but now it's chewing on metal. All that's down in the Gulf of Mexico are pipes. Metal.
You'd have been better off with just the oil then.
It's the pit of hell.
Right, it's the pit of hell, right.
It's the pit of hell. Now you got birds falling out
of the
sky.
And the most significant thing of all is the ley lines that are involved. You know, there's all kinds of just pure evil, with these things that are going on with the energy lines or whatever that the occult is all over with where they've got these obelisks placed around the world and all that. I know enough to know. I know all I need to know about it. But they're messing with that, and it's we might just see it. The New Madrid fault line gets set off. You know, we might just see the Great Lakes emptied. You know, who knows? I mean,
yep.
We're gonna see all kinds of crazy stuff.
Daniel, you'd like to add anything?
Yeah, I just sitting here thinking. Think about it from 9/11, 2001, till now. Now the news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
I agree.
You don't have to be a prophet to see. That's it. We're in a a downward slide. The country, the world is in a downward slide.
Like never before.
Like never
before. And, you know, the spirit that I see out there in the churches is still this positive idea that, you know, there's still... they just don't see the evil. They don't see the level of evil.
Well, they still think the economy is going to recover.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, until you can identify the enemy, you know, how can you come against it? And, you know, this is the problem.
Come out of it, yeah.
Now, audience, we preach the full armor of Ephesians, the rod and the staff for teaching and carrying the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very difficult to convey because I'm trying this show to make sure that we convey enough information to the new members of our audience that the understanding that you are looking at and hearing is ongoing. This is ongoing. We're told that the tribulation will be like no man has ever seen, that hearts will fail, that people will, it's an utter desolation of everything on the outside in the flesh. And we're trying to convey to prepare yourself to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself as a holy vessel to carry the Holy Spirit, to do His will as He would have you, as He would teach you, as the Holy Spirit leads you. And I just want to dwell down Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And I'm going to break in at a couple spots. Take my yoke. Okay, this is, when you drill down on yoke, take the scales. Okay, this is servitude, a law, an obligation, also a beam, a balance, connecting the scales. A pair of balances. If our older viewers who have been in the Word will make the connection to the older balances. Upon you, individually, audience, you are the temple of the Lord, and learn of me, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll recount if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the mystery of the Gospels. I am meek, and meek is gentle and humble and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, audience, with all of this, if you told me all this going on a year and a half ago, and I had birds falling from the sky, I had the pit of hell opening up, I have multiple economic collapses in my generation, I'd be fearful. I mean, fearful for everything going on in the world. I only fear the Lord. And when I look at this, I fear the Lord and only the Lord, as we were taught through the Gospels, so that we can serve Him in this time. Would anybody like to add to that?
No, you said it.
No,
really
you
well.
Said it. You said it. Said it all, Bob.
Amen. You said it all. Amen. Yes, with the beginning, the fear of the Lord is, or the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
And we need wisdom in this yes. day.
Right.
Amen.
Guidance.
Now, Daniel, would you like to, I know you have to go. I just wanted to let you have the platform and convey to our audience anything that you feel on your heart.
Well, just to carry that out a little bit more, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. Yes, I see. Yes, of course, the church is going to you know, try to convince people that things are getting better. They don't want people saving their money and not giving it to the church or whatever, you know. But I think it's pretty clear to see we are in a downward slide. And as you were just saying, Bob, we need to clean this vessel out, get right before the Lord, read His Word, study it, pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us, and just be strong in our faith. Be strong in our faith, assured of the Word, and just put on the full armor of God, of Christ, and stand there and just. And then, no, I mean, you know, we're not, we're no, we're no, we're not scared of what the world can do to us. That's not certainly what I mean, but just to be sure that, you know, as sure as we can be that we're ready and that we'll avoid this, which is coming, kind of worthy to avoid it. And if you're actually listening to this program and still in the church, I mean, that's where it's going to hit. You know, that's where it hits first. First Peter, you know, God, the judgment comes on the church first. I don't know what else it takes for people to hear that you have to come out of there. This is where all the bad things are going to happen at, in the church. This is where, you know, I don't know. I just pray that people are seeing these things and saying, you know, I'm not hearing any truth in here. I need to come out of it. The church, it never was meant to be like that. It's just as you all heard, the church is not, if you look at the definition for a church, it's not, you know, a great big wooden palace where people go. That's not what it means. It means a called out group of believers that are called out of the world, not to build buildings, but to build the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, not to conform to the world, but to come to be separate from the world. And if you're listening, please, you got to come out of this. Come out of this and hear the truth, because you're not here, you won't hear it in there. Pretty soon you won't have the chance to make that decision to come out of the church either, I'm afraid. So I would just urge everybody to come out of these churches, come out of these traditions of men, and get these holy temples right and be ready for the Lord. That's all I have.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks very much
for being with us tonight. We really appreciate your work.
Was a pleasure, yes.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Daniel. Greatly appreciated.
Bye.
Goodbye. An audience that says, come out of her, come unto me. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of her, the harlot church, and come unto me and experience your rest so that you can prepare. He prepared his disciples when he sat to rest them. This was a big event. Everyone was going to be taught the word of the Lord. No one knew this. Now, 2,000 years later, everybody knows it, but it's upside down. It's all wrong.
Well, the Sermon on the Mount is right now. Right now.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm just I'm dying to get this this Billy Graham, you know, connection. I mean, everything we're talking about tonight is... What's that?
Maybe we should take... Well, I was wondering if we should take a quick pause, if you can put it on pause, because your voice...
Give me a minute. Let me think about this real quick.
He guided the world from a revelatory gospel to a social gospel.
Yes, he did.
So that makes, you know, that's the red horse.
And Chris, I want you to find the Time magazine with the messianic hand on it.
I did find it. It wasn't a messianic hand. What they did is they had the Time, the M, they made it look like horns on him. They made the M look like devil horns on the top of his head.
Well, that's a fleshly understanding of that
but
deal.
Yeah.
A sign of a divided mind, too.
All right, let's see. Well, I want to segue into the whole thing, so...
Okay.
All right, give me the 3, 2, 1 whenever you're ready.
All right, give me... Okay, we're good. 3, 2, 1
Now, audience, we're recounting our current study. It is a timeline from we started at 1611 to give the proper rendering of the four horses of the apocalypse and how they've recapitulated up to our generation. And in doing so, we're recognizing from 1947 and 48 the establishment of the physical Israel, which has the proper documentation as an established nation. We're equating that and the subsequent actions that have happened in the for the inhabitants of the earth of a movement that was unable to encapsulate the inhabitants of the earth. And again, for you older audience members, we're talking about the churches primarily. But this movement now has the ability to be propagated throughout the entire earth. So in our recognition, we're coming to our second part of the series with Billy Graham, who transformed the gospel in terms of proper renderings, because it was weak and it became weaker. But with Billy Graham is a significant event. And in recounting our previous shows, we've discussed the Black Horse is reestablishing, you know, Nazi Germany, the Third Reich, NASA, National Security Act, television, Operation Paperclip, the movies, the Day the Earth Stood Still. Then we moved into the Tavistock Institute, Interpol, and the American Cancer Society. For the Red Horse, we've moved from the World Council of Churches, and I believe we're going to do that next week, Chris?
Yeah, well, sure. Well, yeah.
The Dead Sea Scrolls, the Baby Boomers, which is significant, and this is parallel with Billy Graham. And then finally, the White Horse, the creation of the UN, which is a capitulation of the Pale Horse as now we're a global, we're under a global system. And the fictitious birth of Israel and the surrounding Arab countries and how they've been put into place to do the Lord's will. Bretton Woods in 1944. And finally, the establishment of the 501c3 churches in 1954, which we see as a landmark for the Great Falling Away. That propagated to where we are in our generation right now, currently, that the churches are leavened. And in discussing Billy Graham, both gentlemen, we know that the significance of Billy Graham in taking away the proper repentance of sin doctrine was propagated, and it was compelling that he ended up in stadiums. He's the most televised televangelist in the world. And he's not in this gospel. Brother Chris.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And, you know, the thing we say over and over again that, you know, Christians today have two big problems. One is they have no idea of the level of deception that Satan is capable of. I mean, if I was saying, I don't know who I was talking to this last couple of days, you know, if the most brilliant minds of all time were to corroborate, to come up with a device, a plan of deception, they couldn't. They couldn't touch it. This deception that has, you know, spanned, you know, millennia, that we're in the final turn, home stretch now. And not only is that the problem, but the fact that Christians don't realize that God allows it, and it's all absolutely part of God's plan. You know, we said earlier that you know, God sets the snare. And this is it. This is the snare. This deception is God's threshing floor. The threshing floor, the separation of the wheat and the tares, is deception. This is what God uses to sort out his flock, because his flock aren't deceived. You know, this is a key, that his sheep hear his voice. And, you know, when you say something like Billy Graham is apostate, you know, how can anybody handle that? I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, 90% of the Christians today think that George Bush is a Christian still. I mean, you know, there's just the deception is just it's just beyond the scope of human rationale. But I'm here to tell you, folks, you know, this is the way Satan works, and you know, we're just exposing this as best we can, and you know, just kind of tracking the progress of this thing. And you know, last week we took a look at the way you know, we saw William Randolph Hearst, you know, jump in with the money. It's always the money. Follow the money. You know, they these globalists accomplish their goals, you know, with the money by manipulating. And, you know, I actually this week came to a conclusion of something else, too, that I probably go against what I said last week. But, you know, I've got a picture of Billy Graham early on. I mean, if it wasn't 1951, of he's doing a full-blown Masonic handshake with the Masonic bear symbol on his chest, you know, shaking hands with some dignitary. And
1951, huh?
Yeah, that's what I think it was, Circa. He was shaking hands with some bigwig, you know, international figure. But I'm now of the mind that, you know, he might have just been part of it the whole all along. I mean, the picture we used for last week's show, I mean, the most sinister look, you see it in his eyes. You just see the evil in his eyes. You know, there's no doubt. But and something else we can't forget is the fact that, you know, Billy Graham and the TV were so huge. I mean, another, you know, one of the key components to come out of this Pale Horse 47-48 era is the television set, you know, and the masses that Billy Graham reached with this tainted gospel message, and then on the other hand, and it's not only the fact that, you know, the gospel message, which, you know, make no mistake, started off strong, you know, this is the tactic that was used here, where how deeply Billy was into the deception at the beginning, I'm not going to be able to say, but I know where he ended up, you know, and he ended up in perdition, and it was definitely part of the whole plan to transform, you know, into the churches into a social gospel. And then, you know, the big thing with Billy Graham's crusade in his planning, you know, one of his big things was to get these people that came forward and filled out these commitment cards, you know, to get them plugged into these churches for discipleship. And, you know, that's probably a great idea, you know, when the churches were strong. But as the churches, you know, fell apart and went into the apostasy that we are today, you know, that this was just, you know, all part of, you know, Satan's plan, where these people were getting sent to these churches, you know, Catholic Church, anything. You know, it's all part of the ecumenical one world movement. It's all happening here. And then here we are today, you know, 2011. And, you know, there's just no truth in the church anymore. So here we are. And, this is how this thing, came about. You see the groundwork being laid back here in the 40s when they, you know, came again. This is the post-war era, and the new enemy is communism, godless communism, and you know, we needed a figurehead to preach, you know, the message against you know, this new enemy, this new, you know, contrived enemy. And, you know, Billy Graham was you know, this was one of his big themes, you know, when they jumped on board financing him. And you know, this all through this time now, you know, we're coming through the 50s and the 60s, and he's preaching a message, the gospel message. I won't argue sometimes that, you know,
his message was a lot better in the early 50s and 60s and whatnot. I mean, yeah, his message, you know, it had been leavened over the years, but it was much better back then.
But it's the way that you know, we discussed.
That's the way, right? Right, so, you know, well, he had a good message before, so there's no reason for us to doubt him now, right?
Yeah, that's right. And those are the warnings that we've heard, you know, that they'll start out with the truth and then swing you over to lies. And, you know, we see this pattern. And it's not so much, the diminishment of the gospel message that, you know, as we see the communist agenda, the very agenda that that this group is, you know, supposedly coming against, is actually encouraging, you know, the replacement of the revelatory Christianity with a social gospel, you know, where the group,
right.
and this is, you know, all part of this deception that was building through this time. And
they can gather that social gospel, since the truth is gone now, into the British Israel movement and into the Zionist movement, you know.
Yeah, this is...
There was a little guy running side by side with him there, and you know, but they're joining him back together was Herbert Armstrong.
Hmm. Right. And, that's British. You know, he was full-blown British Israel, wasn't he?
Right. You know, that was in the 40s. When it basically got started was in the 40s.
So they're running the dialectic side by side. But this is the thing that I'm putting together now. Okay, fast forward to the 60s, 70s. But in the 70s, we start seeing guys like Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel getting co-opted with Illuminati money and all the Jesus rock and all that. All the mingling that's starting, that's really, really coming in now. And all this time, you know, Billy Graham is this stable figure preaching against communism and and preaching for America and you know the godly nation and all this stuff.
Leading them into communism.
What's that?
Well, all the time leading them into communism.
Absolutely.
All this time leading them into it, right? But at the same time preaching against it. And
right.
And this is the thing that I'm coming to. As I say, honestly, I just saw clarity on this 15, 20 minutes ago, you know, thinking through this stuff, preparing. So let's just fast forward. You know, we can go back if we want to, but 70s, 80s, you know, we see 88. Okay, what's that? 87, 88. The King James Bible isn't the number one selling Bible. You know, we see the total influence of the Knights of Malta, Jesuits here with you know, all the people tied to this, you know, Rockefeller threw money at this thing early on, Knights of Malta there, you know, William Randolph Hearst. These guys were integral in bringing on these, what's the text, Bill? Alexandrian text Bibles again, you know, leading towards this serfdom and this control.
Then the TBN and the Family Channel in the early 90s.
Yeah, all part of it. And you know what else, too, was along the line here? Christianity Today, that magazine. You know, Billy Graham was in the middle of that. He was one of the founders of that magazine. It's all part of this. And what we're seeing is we're seeing the foundation for the Christian right, which we're, you know, so adamant about the evil behind the Dominionist movement, and this is how it came about, and this is the thing that really came clear to me. Okay, I'm getting 87, 88. We got the Bibles, the diminishment of the Word of God, preparing the flocks, preparing Christians to accept the major deception that's going to come in the next 20 years. And so what happens? 89, the fall of communist Russia, you know, allegedly. You know, probably one of the biggest lies ever told.
Right.
But, okay, right. So what's happening here
when
now?
You control both sides, what do you need a wall for?
Yeah. But, you know, what it is, it's the rise of the fascist right, which is what, you know, this Christian right is fascism. And, you know, it's the black horse that we see rising. But what also is happening at the same time? Communism goes underground, it comes into its own in that, you know, seminaries and colleges have been infiltrated with this communist agenda. You know, it's all working, and they've got this whole communist mindset implanted in these structures now. And what do we do now? Well, we need a new enemy. So why don't we bring, you know, let's by now the CIA's got Islam fomented to the point where it's ready to come in. Boom, 1990, what happens in 91? You know, a new world order where the law of the land, you know, I can just still hear Bush Sr., you know, telling everybody how the new world order is going to be the answer. Boom, you know, the first Iraqi war and this fight against terror and the evil Islamic world. And, you know, and here we are today. In those 20 years, you know, communism went underground, and it's the fraud that it was supposedly defeated, when in fact has basically came to maturity and has completely, you know, seized the minds of the people, you know, specifically the Christians, in that's the time when the seeker-friendly movement, social gospel, starts permeating the churches and, you know, runs its course. And to now today, we've got the church completely leavened. Absolutely, discernment is gone. And the gospel's gone. The gospel message is gone. The doctrine of regeneration is gone. And here we are. And so we have. And what we have today is in this lame duck, you know, time between now and the next elections. You know, we've got the Christian right fascist takeover basically done. You know, they've got the corporate Illuminists are basically in control, and now we're in the end game of this thing, as Satan is seated on the mount of the congregation, completely and totally deceiving the majority of Christianity at large with every wind of doctrine, and in these churches that have that are dependent on lies for their very existence. And this is how it all happened. And now we've got Billy Graham sitting in a wheelchair ready to croak, and he did his job, and diluted the fact that, I would encourage anybody to go out there and find the book Billy and His Friends. I can't think of the author's name, but it exposes all this. And the way, Billy Graham's up there rubbing elbows with these dignitaries and presidents, these Masons, most of them Knights of Malta, Reagan, Bush Senior, Clinton, both, Hillary and
well, Bill, he endorsed Hillary, I believe, in the 2004 election.
What's wrong with this picture, folks? You want to know right. about Bill Clinton? Type in Clinton body count, and you'll see in the top, evil people on the face of the earth, and here we've got Christianity's figurehead, reverencing this guy, on stage at one of his tours, and there's just no discernment to see the fraud of this thing. This is where we are today, folks. Satan has achieved his goal, all for God's purpose, and we're just exposing it. But I just want to say that this is definitely, I'm really thankful, because this study of Billy Graham has really helped me, connect the dots for my next, for Monster Part 2. Because I've studied and prepared for Monster Part 2, the thing that's got so big and kept getting bigger and bigger. But
it's growing faster than you can accumulate, huh?
Yeah, it really is. But
it's a mustard seed.
In real time.
Yeah, in real time. But this
Brother Bill.
Study, this little jump study here is going to help me bridge the gap there. So there's probably going to be two more parts. It'll probably be Monster 1, 2, and 3. But you'll keep checking the website, folks. I don't know when it'll happen, but I'm pretty much prepared to put it out there. And this is it now. And here we've got today.
This is
January.
This is bigger than the monster that devoured Cleveland.
Yeah, right. But we've got January 2011. We got Oprah, with her own cable channel. Glenn Beck.
She's in with Glenn Beck, I believe.
Yeah, Glenn Beck's warming up to her now, shifting his whole thing. The whole Mormon thing.
Well,
we got this guy, Mitt Romney and Black. What's his name? He's got an odd name. He's all going to be part of it. The whole Mormon. What's Mormon? A version of British Israel. Because we're seeing that, as the Christians are crying out for more, this starving in these churches. They don't know where to go. And Satan's just got all the answers of deception, and so we just see this trend, going towards the British Israel, fleshly tribes of Israel thing. What do you see about that, Bill? I know you're, and if you could comment about the punishment of the false prophet, preparing the way for the beast that's rising.
Right. Well, yes, that's some, very good analysis that you put together too in the last 20 years there, put all that together. Yeah, and
the fake enemy communism is now the fake enemy Islam, the wild
country. Right. That's right. They just shifted it to, change the name to protect the guilty. I had a thought right on the top of my head there, and I seemed to lost it.
What was the guy in 1984, Goldberg? What was his first name? The enemy of the day,
Yeah, the enemy of the day, right.
You've got to have an enemy always before the people.
Okay, now, since the whole world is in deception now, the false prophet's done its job. There is no truth left. Now the job for Satan is to shovel up all the lies and put them in one bag. And, I think that this is what the Zionist movement is, the British Israel movement. And, he's got to reduce, 100 lies, group them into 50 now and put them down, and then group, just keep grouping
lies,
and get distilling the lies now to get it down to one in order to, build his kingdom. And, he's going to try to achieve oneness, but his house is divided, and, you know, he can never achieve oneness, but I'm sure he's going to put his best effort in possible.
And the way that the Dominionists are so deceived, and, you know, Loretta's got some really neat insights into this. You know, she sent me something yesterday about it.
I've been exchanging a few emails with her on that.
The Christian Dominionists are getting set up for their betrayal as they support this thing. And it'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out because, you know, the multitude are in the Dominionist movement, you know, as well. You know,
The larger part of them in the multitude are in the Dominionist movement.
We certainly don't want to come across like we're judging folks. I mean, we know we
sound
that way.
No, absolutely not.
You know,
yeah.
Our heart just breaks for people who are deceived. And, you know, we're crying out for the multitude to wake up, just longing for the time that the scales come off their eyes and, you know, and they ask questions about these things. But, you know, it's just the deception is so great right now that, you know, it's just going to be a miracle. And it's going to be a miracle. It's going to be a miracle equal to the loaves, you know, Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes, because that's what that's metaphoric for. The loaves and the fishes are the remnant elect, you know, spreading the truth to the multitude. That's what that story is teaching us. And, you know, it's just exciting. But, Bill, I got to hand it to you, the way you've seen that. You know, at the time of Christ, you know, the beast killed Christ, thought he was getting away with that. And it didn't work, you know. And so he was, you know, since 70 AD, when the beast was destroyed, when the mortal wound was inflicted, you know, that's when the false prophet came up. Satan knew that he couldn't kill Christ, so now he had to start lying about him. And so that's what we've had now for, 1,700 years. And, you know, it's just really neat the way you put that together, Bill.
Now, again, audience, sometimes we do the fleshly to give you an understanding so you're not ignorant of Satan's tactics. Okay, the tactics of the enemy are such that if you are not in the Word and you're not properly studying and having the proper spiritual rendering, you are not prepared for this. Your houses must be in order. And let me say, just a pearl of wisdom. There's the separation is told to us, it's in your own house. And in presenting the gospel in your own house, let your families be a witness to this. Let them understand the truth so that they may see this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more ungodliness. In the churches, on the TV, on the radio, on the internet, you are to shun profane and vain babblings. That is what the current situation is right now, audience, in terms of this gospel. Satan's tactics. In 2 Corinthians verse 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's what the Watchman Weekly has been doing. That's what the Threshing Floor has been doing. And more importantly, the Third Day Studies, the work that Sue Patterson and Randy Moggins completed and is ongoing, in terms of the metaphoric language, to have scripture upon scripture and have the metaphors with the proper renderings gives you this gospel. And we haven't found anywhere else but there. Anybody like to add to that?
No.
Yeah, it's... well, we have found some other gospels. Obviously, they have pioneered the metaphoric language. There's no question about that.
It's our gospel. It's everybody's gospel.
It's everybody's gospel, right? Yeah. It's it's the Lord Jesus Christ's gospel, showing through the Holy Spirit His chosen vessels, and we can be His humble chosen vessels, and He'll bless us to show us more, and we can serve Him more.
I mean, I'm just grateful because I was one of these pew warmers in this seeker-friendly movement, just dying.
Yeah, I wandered around in the desert for 40 years seeking the truth and, finding none.
Yeah. And then by the time, it's clear to me that this famine on the land is for a reason. You know, it's to cause the people to hunger and to thirst. And make no mistake, people in the churches there are many people, searching. And this is the problem, though. Satan's got every device out there to trap them. And, our prayer is that they would not be deceived and to be led to the truth. Because by the time, when I was on my search after I woke up and, explored everything, certainly spend my time in the fleshly, things, all over the British Israel, lost tribes, got intrigued and all that stuff. But, when the Lord led me to the threshing floor and the work Sue and Randy were doing with the metaphoric language, and I just knew this was right. And I to this day, the Spirit testifies in my heart that the truth, because the Lord has opened the words of Daniel. It says, "Go thy way, Daniel. These words will be sealed till the time of the end." And it's just absolutely clear that those words have been opened, and it's been through humble servants of the Lord that the Lord's trusted this truth to, these secrets, the secret, the fact that. That the thing runs twice. We're seeing the complete exact scenario that played out during the time of Christ, leading up to and including, it's all playing out again. The religious system is, enriched in goods and in need of nothing, and it's going to miss the second coming. This is where we're headed, folks. They're going to miss their hour of visitation then, and they're going to miss their hour of visitation today, because it's only going to be God's remnant. The chosen, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All of Israel will be saved, but all of Israel is not Israel. It's God's elect, God's remnant that sees the truth. This is what we're calling you to. These are the people in the desert. The woman in the wilderness is the woman that is nourished, and she's the one that's separate from the harlot system. The woman is the church, true and apostate. The woman in the wilderness is the remnant, the true church, and the harlot is the false church, the religious system that has gone completely bad. The church has gone into perdition. And this is where we are today. The kingdom of God, the seven, has gone into the eighth, and the eighth is of the seven, and has gone into perdition. And we're just calling you out of that system, to where the truth is, and calling you to stand in the truth. This is the answer, folks. We give you all these complicated scenarios and explanations and analyzing this deception, but the bottom line is, the good news is, you abide in Christ, abide in the truth, and that's where your freedom comes from, and your joy and your peace that surpasses understanding. But the one thing you can't have is you can't have other gods. The only one God, God's a jealous God, and you can't have both. You can't have the world and the living God. You got to choose. Decide today who you will serve. And with that, I'm done for tonight. I want to thank everybody in the audience listening, all the support, the email messages of encouragement, my friends on Facebook. I just love all you guys, and just thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you again next week.
Brother Bill.
Yes. The threshing floor studies, what is, I feel, is so valuable in those studies is it gives you a consistent identity of who's who throughout the scripture.
Amen.
Yeah, you can start spotting the multitude, you start spotting the remnant, you start spotting the serpents and scorpions, and you'll see these identities all throughout the scripture. And these studies are, they will provide you with a consistent pattern of identities, and it's identity is so important in the world today, and is the identity theft in the flesh. Everybody's concerned about the identity theft in the flesh, and there's a serious identity theft going on in the spiritual, but far more serious.
I couldn't agree more, Bill.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out here also that, you know, this is God's truth. He has been gracious enough to show it to us, little bits and pieces to us, and we can put it together. And we're sitting in the back row with just servants too. You know, we just want to come in and join us as servants of the Lord. We can all sit in the back seat and be very comfortable and let Him do the driving.
In audience, we're the Joe Lunchbox crew. Now, I always say we're the highest paid on the internet, but
well, we are.
But we're the Joe Lunchbox crew. And when we're trying to convey this, we're not pointing fingers. We're pointing to the Word of God with the right renderings that have been missing on the face of the earth. I mean, there's people from generation to generation since our Lord Jesus Christ up to now. But to decipher the word now amongst all of the lies, all of Satan's tactics are implemented, and he is ruling the world. And we're trying to convey the true gospel message. And I encourage you, audience, please, I impel you, please, go to the threshing floor and pull up some shows. Pick any shows you're going to get the truth, which may be on your heart. Pull up the third day studies. Go to the thirdgradeawakening.org and go to the remnant blogs. They will edify. You will find these truths. I equate it to this, audience. There's kids playing down the street, and you see a ball coming in the street. Stop. Stop the car. That's repentance. And realize you've been saved. You've been saved from hitting a child. But you have to get out of the car and get the ball for the child. And you have to take it to the curb and give it to him. And then get back in the car without getting hit yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. Good night.